Very good morning to all of you, and truly it's my joy to be here. I'm really very, very, very happy to be here, you know, to come together with God's people and God's servant, my co-laborers in the kingdom ministry, but more importantly, we are together as one, you know, to honor God. You know, my name is Joshua Lim. I've been in ministry for the past 34 years, and it has been a joyous, magnificent, wonderful ministry. But there's always ups and downs. Not always up, you know, but sometimes down. Sometimes it's so difficult, you know. But it's really a wonderful ministry. There's many, many challenges, and especially some of you, are embarking on your new ministry, or even in your mid-career kind of ministry, you realize that as you serve the Lord, there are so many things that's happening in your life, and you really will be very, very thankful. You know, I like this cartoon by Charlie Brown, you know. You know, Louis was complaining, you know, sometimes I get discouraged. Well, Lucy, life does have its ups and downs, you know. Why? Why should it be? Why can't my life be all ups? And if I want all the ups, why can't I have them? Why can't I just move from one up to another up? Why can't I just go from an up to an up? I don't want any downs. I just want ups, you know. So I guess just sometimes that's about us in ministry. We just want to go higher and higher and higher and up, but we do realize that, you know, in ministry, God in His wisdom and goodness does allow the downs to come so that we can mold it, so that we can challenge, so that we can be more like Christ in so many ways. And for today, I'd just like to continue to encourage you with these two practices or two things which I hope that you will just remember at least for one day, all right? At least for one day, you know? And that is to really prepare yourself to serve God for the long haul. To be really prepared to serve God for the long haul. And secondly, to continually thirst for Christ. So throughout today, remind each other, what did Pastor Joshua say? Oh, okay, prepare to serve God for the long haul and to continue to serve God. You know, so I believe all of us desire to serve God for the long haul. None of us want to start off in ministry and tomorrow we quit. We want to press on. We want to do our very, very best for the Lord. And we do realize that, you know, although there are many, many challenging circumstances, but yet at the same time, because God is so good to us, we want to continue to press on. But we know the truth. We know the reality that confronts us as ministers of God. You know, we do realize that the journey that God reminds us to carry on is a kind of marathon race. It's not just a short burst of energy and then dissipated, but rather to press on is a long, persevering, enduring journey. And it's a constant reminder that the writer of Hebrew reminds us, you know, to really press on, to cast aside everything that holds us back, holds us down. What is it that's holding you down? Is it the regrets in life that you're facing? Is it a mistake that you're making? And sometimes you find that it's very hard to press on. It's so difficult to press on. But God is constantly encouraging one step at one time. One step at one time. You know, some of you, like one of my friends, is contemplating quitting. Her studies in a doctoral ministry. She said, oh, it's so tough, I just want to quit. Maybe some of you here. It's so tough. But press on. One paper at one time. One exam at one time. 1 year at one time. And then you'll see how God will continue to lead us. But of course, it's tough. Statistic is not very kind to us. You know, as of March 2022, the percentage of pastors who have considered quitting full-time, this is US statistics, within the past year, sit at 42%. And this is consistent with data from the fall in 2021, when Barna first reported on the sharp increase in pastoral burnout. And it confirms the growing number of pastors who are considering resignation, up 13 percentage points from 29% in January 2021. So this is the reality that we are facing. This is statistics from US. How about Singapore? I do not know. We don't have the data. How about Myanmar? I do not know. How about India? I do not know. But there will always be people who are contemplating resignation, because sometimes ministry can be discouraging. So what are some of the reasons that they are contemplating resignation? There's so many. Of course, the greatest is the immense stress of the job itself, the full-time ministry that they are involved in. And of course, there are things like I feel lonely and isolated, or some of so in US is the political crisis, you know, Trump versus Biden, that kind of crisis that they are facing in the church. It's very terrible, the stress they are facing, terrible, you know. So all these are things that is happening in the life of a pastor. And I like some of the lower one is regarding my vision for the church, conflicts with the church directions, or the church is steadily declining, or I'm not satisfied with my job, or I don't feel respected by my congregants, or I don't feel equipped. So these are so many of the reasons, you know, that has been laid down why pastors are being so discouraged. And it's a high percentage. But regardless of the statistic, regardless of that statistic, I hope that, what are two things I say? Be prepared to serve God for the long haul and continue to have a thirst for God. Be prepared. Why do I say that? Because in ministry, there's so many things that we're doing. You know, as a pastor, this is my personal experience. You know, there's so many things that we are doing. You know, we are preparing for ministry. We are preparing sermons. You know, and this is only pastor. Maybe as lecturers, you have your own things. You know, I have a neighbor, you know, who was just chit-chatting and say, oh, yeah, pastor, you're so easy. One day a week. You work only one day a week. You see me out there one day. You're so easy. When you look at the ministry, there's so many things. You know, preparing for sermon, charting out sermons, you know, coming out with the theme of, now I'm preparing for 2025. You know, counseling, you counsel the young people, you counsel the youth, you counsel the married, counsel people who are having a marital problem. Even your pastor, can you help me, my quarreling neighbors? You know, can you mediate for them? Or even relatives, you know, pastor, can you do that? Or then you have to lead your leaders to what? Leadership meeting. You have to challenge them and charge them, and you have to set directions, you have to give advice for ministry, then you have to attend conferences, you have to represent your church in conferences. Why your pastor is not there? Why it's not being represented? You know, you have to go, you know, represent your seminary, or attend pastors meeting, attend leaders retreat, attend church retreat, plan for church retreat, speak at church retreat, then go for mission trip, you know, plan for mission trip, then submit monthly reports, weekly reports, and then you have to meet leaders individually. So many things, visiting the sick, handle funerals, wedding, mentor you, children, attend care group meeting, attend CG meeting, handle bulletins, print bulletins, you know, evangelistic outreach, personal as well as church, Christmas, baptism, conduct follow-up classes, baptismal classes, attend the building repairs if you have a building, you know, maintenance, rodents, Allah. You have to get people to you pastor, you're the only man there, you have to handle it. And this all this maintenance, and then there's a dengue fever going on, dengue case. So you have to, the dengue people come and check, you know, you have to handle them. And of course, catch rodents. This is real, I catch rodents. Rodent in my chest, bullpen, have to catch. That's one of my worst experiences. Have you ever catch rodent before? Maybe some of you did. Huh? So I think it's very scary. Catch them, put inside boiling water. Then don't know where to throw them. Paris Canyon, repair a broken cistern, change tap. Ah, so many things, as a pastor. You know, how can we not burn out? I don't know about you, but it's difficult. It's tough. And on top of that, what happened? We have to speak at what? Chapel service. Oh, we have to supervise intern. So many things go bok, still not enough. Still got... but this one I enjoy. This one I like. Oh, please invite me to come back. You know, so these are the things that is happening. You know, we can be so busy, but we are in a marathon race. So we need to pace ourselves. We need to plot step by step. There's so many things that we have to do as a minister, but we have to plot step by step. You know, there are many things that you can do to pace yourself. You know, but there are times in your life whereby sometimes when you're so overwhelmed with so many things and you tell God, God, I cannot handle it anymore. Sometimes God gives you superhuman strength. Let me just share with you this incident. Our church, we have a vocation Bible school, my former church, vocation Bible school. You know, so because of that, during vocation Bible school, we not only we put on posters on the church walls, you know, saying that there's a vocation Bible school on during your school holidays, bring your children, but we go to the housing board. Distribute flyers. You know, we go and distribute. Hey, hello, you know. Pastor is there today, so must add one more. Distribute flyers. So it's a good thing because you get to know your community. You get to know who you are ministering to. So we're distributing flyers. Hey, do you have children in your family? Come to this vacation by free. Or maybe you charge $10, something like that. So they send their children to the vacation Bible school. So knock on one door. Then the door opened. Do you have children in your family? Then they laugh. Ah, they're for migrant workers, you know, or they were migrant. Then they say, we don't have children. But if you have English class, we will come. You know, I was thinking to myself, wow, I have so many things to do. Still got to start an English class, you know, just to do reach out ministry. So I say, okay, can. If you are willing to come, we will start the English class. We got no English class then. Well, I said, okay, we get that context and things like that. Then I told them, okay, Wednesday we'll start the English class. And we ministered to this group of migrant workers, and some of them came to know the Lord, which I'm so thankful. But the best of all, you know what is my greatest joy as I serve God for the long haul? My greatest joy is that up to today, the English class is still functioning. And not only functioning, it's two more. It's expanded two more. Because as we minister to these migrant workers, as we teach them English, they get to know the Lord and their heart is open. Not everyone will come to know the Lord, but some of them will believe in Him, will be challenged. So sometimes in ministry, there are many, many things that go in, but sometimes God may ask you to do certain things, which is, I got so many, I'm so busy with this, I'm so busy with that. But sometimes, God plays in your heart certain passion. And this may be something that God wants you to do, even though you may be very tired, even though you may be very busy. And so I'm very grateful for this, you know. So one of the things that we can do, you know, to pace ourselves, of course, this is a very wonderful areas that we can always do, and there is to always delegate. There are also many, many things that you know yourself. I cannot tell you how to pace yourself. You are the runner. You are the marathon runner. You know, we can really come alongside you. Some marathon runner, they sleep at very late, some they sleep very early, some drink Milo, oh, various ways. So you will have your own ways. Some of you are early risers, so you're very active in the morning. I've got friends who ask me, hey, Joshua, can you meet me at 6 a.m.? You know, I'm a night owl, you know, so I'll sleep late in the night. So all of us are different. So you know how to pace yourself. But this is a very good one. To learn how to delegate. To learn how to delegate. And to learn how to really recognize that you are not the so-called indispensable. Recently, I had a conversation with a brother. He's a very high top flyer in his industry. So he feels that he's indispensable. You know, he has to be in charge of so many countries. He has to make sure that everything is running well. But one day, his heart gave way. He's only in his 40s. His heart gave way. And so he has to admit himself to the hospital. And then he informed his office that, you know, that he's not well, you know, that he's out of action for a while. He has heart problem. So he said in those days, he faxed to his office. He faxed to his office. Certain requirements, certain instruction and things like that. And then later, he realized that the table that he was sitting originally upon has already got someone sitting there. So this person faxed back to him. It's okay, no worry. You know, he's well taken care of. So it's the greatest shock of his life. He thought he was indispensable, but actually the company has already prepared someone to take over from him. You know, so even for us, learn to delegate. Do not think that you're indispensable. God has prepared someone to help you, to lead you, to be a blessing to you. Especially us as pastors. You know why? Because we like to cling on to the pulpit. We want to cling on to the pulpit. We find it very hard to let go of the pulpit. We want to be the only person that speaks God's truth to our congregation. It is truth in one sense. But sometimes our congregation needs another speaker to give them further truth from God's words as well. Yeah. So learn to delegate. Don't try to speak every Sunday, you know, I tell you, you will break down. Learn to delegate. And of course, you know, as you delegate, you realize that you can breathe better. And not only that, you realize that God in His goodness allowed you to continually rest. So what am I saying? Prepare to serve God for the long haul and continue to have a thirst for God. And this is something that will really keep you for the long haul. Because as you serve God, even at this very moment, sometimes you may feel that, God, I have fallen short, I have struggled, and I'll be able to pick myself up. But one thing that we learn about God is what? He's a God of grace, a God of mercy. I always remember this story. You remember after Jesus Christ rose from the dead and he appeared to the disciples? And then Thomas, what did Thomas say? He says, "What? I will not believe until I see the wound on his hands and on his body." And then what did the Lord Jesus Christ did? He appeared before him. You know, I was thinking about this incident. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, accede to a request of a mere man. Who is Thomas? To make this kind of request. And God Almighty, you know, is willing to accede to his request. Imagine that. The grace and the mercy of God. You know, it's someone like a friend of yours, you know, he's desperate for money. You know, he owed people a lot of money and he asked this person for help. He rejected us. And then he come to you and say, "Okay, lah, I will help you with $1,000. You go to ATM, you take off the $1,000, $50 notes, then you pass to him. What will his response be? He should be very happy. He should be, "Wow, thank you, Joshua. Thank you for helping me." But what if his response was,
He take the money, he take out a $50 note, look here, look there. You know, I do not know whether it's fake or not, you know. take out. How would you feel? You know, you want to whack his head, like. Yeah, give you money. So in some sense, like Thomas, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ already appeared before you and he still say, I want to see his head. That's the grace of God. You know, so for similar for all of us, you know, we stumble, we fall, but the God that we worship is really, really wonderful. I think I'm running out of time, but it's okay. Yeah. Okay, so very quickly, all right, to really spend time, really have communion with God. This is what our Lord Jesus Christ always did, you know, and communion is not just praying. Some of us make this mistake, you know, when we come before God, we pray, okay, thank you, bye-bye. It's really communing with God, being before his presence. Similarly, our Lord Jesus, after ministering to others, he would spend time with God, as Mark reminds us, and this is repeated time and again. Our Lord Jesus Christ did that. One question, are you doing that? Are you still there having your quiet time? God is calling all of us to fully rest in him at all times, to enjoy spiritual, physical, and mental rest. Then we have the way for the long haul. Then we can continue to move in the directions that he asks us to move. You know, this, of course, this psalm we know is about someone who is very discouraged. And some people say that it's King David running away from Absalom. You know, and he was just panting to be in the Lord's place. But the this songwriter put it very beautifully here. You know, he says, as a deer panteth for the water, so my soul long after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. I think this is a very common song that we sing that we really want to draw close to God. The day that we stop desiring to enjoy God's presence is the day that our ministry stops. When do you stop as a pastor? It's not that you quit your job. It's not that you quit your ministry. It's not that you quit your church. It's the day that you stop enjoying your quiet time with God. When do you stop being a missionary? It's not that you come back to Singapore or whatever. It's the day that you stop thirsting. You know, there's a lot of pastors doing a lot of wonderful things, but their inner life has already dried up. Dried up. Nothing. Empty. Because they have stopped the thirst for God. So, I think I like this quote. I think you all remember this quote, right? If you're too busy to pray, then you're too busy. You're too busy to pray. You're too busy to have quiet time with God. You're too busy. And this is a quote by Bana. He says, most pastors are confronting the same pressures and stresses, but perhaps not the same level of equipping and support. We need sages to advise us, leaders to direct us, to hold us accountable, peers to remind us that we aren't alone, healers to dress our wounds, and companions who carry us when we can't carry on. So what must you do as fellow servants of God? Encourage one another to be prepared to serve God for the long haul. Encourage one another to continually have a thirst for God. And I hope that you will remember these two things, and hopefully it will help you to serve the Lord 10 years later, 20 years later, and I hope to see you in your 70s. If I'm still around, you know, serving God faithfully. Let me close with this. I must add to another thing that pastor have to do. Visit St. Andrew, visit Elder Care Center, ministering to Elder Care Center. So as part of the ministry in this St. Andrew's home, we'll talk to the resident. And many of these residents are in their late 70s and 80s. So I talked to this gentleman, 87 years old. He was crying. So we just chit chat. So he said he was in the army, he was in the police, very busy. He was telling me every time this word, this constant refrain, very busy, very busy, very busy. Busy with this, busy with this, busy. No time for family, no time for holidays, no time for anything. Just work, 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 work. And now he's in his 80s. He felt the emptiness of life. Too busy, his family is no longer there. He cannot travel anymore. Too busy. But how about you? When all of us reach that age, can we say, God, yes, God, I have served you for the long haul. I have really given my life to honor you. Let's go to God in prayer together. Maybe I invite you to take this time just to speak to God yourself personally. Have you neglected your time with the Lord? Indeed, have you been so too busy to pray? Too busy that you don't have time for God? The reason why you have come to this seminary to study, and that is to serve Him. But yet, you don't have time for Him. Father, even as we bow before you, you do recognize your goodness to each one of us. You do recognize, Lord, your call to each one of us. Father, as we serve you, we thank you for this privilege. Thank you for this mandate, Lord. So, Lord, we pray when we have fallen short, grant us a renewed spirit, a renewed mind, a refreshed soul to press on ahead. Your words remind us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Father, have we been living on emptiness? Have we been living according to the wisdom of the world rather than your word? So, Lord, we pray, teach us. To come back to you time and again when we have fallen short. But more importantly, Lord, recognizing, Father, you are amazing God, Lord. You accede to a request of a mere man, Thomas. And Lord, we know you love us, you care for each one of us, and you truly desire the very best for us as we honor you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.